Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome back to another episode of the Dr. Supercoach Podcast. You're on again this week with JB, and I am joined by Pistol. And Pistol, we are again powered by Code Sports, our lovely sponsors of the podcast. Now, before we get into any of the nitty-gritty, I need to know how your week went this week.
Do you need to know?
I don't have to know. You can plead the fifth. You can plead the fifth.
No. It was fine. A very, very average 2,500. As is my team, another hold rank week where nothing much happened. So I'm playing a very boring season.
What is your rank now?
It's still just 3.5K. I'm just hovering.
Yeah.
It's my season. I've had probably like 6 or 7 weeks where I've only fallen like 100 spots.
Yeah.
Not moving. And it's always down as well. So yeah, it's a slow death, as I've been saying, but. This week, at least, I'll be full primo, so my final upgrade is achievable. Unfortunately, I couldn't afford my upgrade to Sarong last week by like 2K because Melican scored 21. I need him to score 30 to afford my trade, and I couldn't. Oh. And then Sarong went 138, so I lost quite a few points, but Melican did score 86, so I felt like I got something there.
You got negative 52 points.
I did.
It's exactly what you got. I scored about 2,500 as well. I am full premium and we scored the same. So that is troubling for my premiums. Looking at you, Darcy Cameron, I dropped about 100 spots. I'm 1,900. Well, I'm closer to 2K, so I'm pretty much 2K flat.
Your team's a lot better than mine, like a lot.
Yeah, but like it's not scoring better. Really weird this year. Like I feel like I've got all the guys, all the good guys, and people might be able to relate to this, but a sub ton from Luke Ryan, who looked like he was on for about 120. Schiesel had 31 touches and a 79. Rory led sub ton and captaincy against North Melbourne. Brayshaw 80 points this week. I can't be mad at him. He's been great since I got him in. Sam Walsh debuts for me this week for a 99, despite being on 95 at three quarter time or something. I kept Briggs. He was on 96 at three quarter time, finished on 87. Taranto, not mad at him at all. He's had a great year. Cogs is whatever at this point, just up and down. Darcy Cameron, 61. Like, these aren't premium scores. But I'm full premium, and I believe in these guys week to week, but they didn't deliver this week. The other guys, obviously, I didn't read out, were all exceptionally getting me 2,500. But I don't know. It feels like a year where you're only two or three failed premium scores away from just rank dropping.
Yeah.
Everyone's got decent teams. And then, like, the bottom three or four players for each team is, like, some high variance guy who's, like, not a safe premium. And then, like, one week you would just go down in rank and then the next you'll go up. And then it just feels like a seesaw year at the moment.
It's a pretty good way to say it. I think the extra trade as well and people being a bit more familiar with how to use the boosts, where last year was a bit more of a test run, just means that, yeah, people are pretty much all full premium this week or last week. You know, we all, I guess the midfield has been a little bit up and down, but it's kind of forced a lot of people into very similar midfields, because there was like clear good picks and clear bad picks.
So yeah, definitely.
We all ended up with a somewhat similar team. I mean, our teams now, just having a quick look at it, the only differences seem to be I have English, Will Day and Tom Green, and you have Liberatore, Brayshaw and Briggs.
Yeah.
So, again, high variance types with the Will Day, and you've got Brayshaw, and you just never really know what's going to happen.
But like Liberatore, for example, I was hoping everyone got full premium as they did last year, by about the second buy, because Libra was always, I was always going to wait for Libra, no matter what that did to my, yeah. I planned my buys to have a good round 18 with no trade, good round 15 with no trades being used. And that was the case, but everyone sort of got pushed back this year because the cash gen stalled for a couple of weeks there, and now everyone's sort of got Libra as well. And I'm like, I don't feel like I have any point of differences. Not that you need them. The point of difference is having a good team with no holes in it. But I feel like I don't have any guys like Libra. What is his ownership now? He's in 10% of teams. I suppose that's lowish ownership, but
that's the biggest pair you can get in the game, basically, at this point. That's
still it does. It feels high, though, in the top 5K. It feels like a lot of people around me do have Libra. So it's like, I've identified this guy, I've got him, and I don't feel like I'm reaping the benefits. But like Darcy Cameron will score a 60 and I drop in rank. And it's like, damn. So yeah, tough game this year. I think everyone's really bunched up. I think Chizo posted something in Slack saying, I think like four people scored the same this week, or they're all ranked pretty much the same. And there's like 50 points between like 500 rankings or something like that. Like everyone's so bunched up. Yeah. It's crazy this year.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It happens. The combination of more trades and DPPs being on, which I think after two seasons, I'm personally not a fan of. I think it just causes us to have very similar sides.
Yeah, I think so too.
That's probably not great for the game. I would rather, I mean, this year to be like fair, we had these like forward midfielder options at the beginning of the season. Like DPP didn't help with that. We selected them to start. So it was just kind of, I feel like that's a once-off sort of style year. But all of those guys are pretty much going to be forward only next year. Midfield only next year. So we get, I'm hoping we just get a bunch of like genuine forwards we have to pick, you know, the Jeremy Cameron type players. That would be fun. But then we're going to get the DPP, so you can't stack your forward line, so you have to wait for the Walsh, who will get DPP throughout the year, you know, those types for next year. But it would be nice.
He won't start with it, to be honest.
It just would have been, yeah, it's true. It just would have been nice, I think, to have a year where we all have all these like key forwards and stuff. I think that would be fun.
I think it'll add a lot more variance and a lot more, like you have to look into the fixtures and not just look at the past scores. And I think a lot of players, a lot of experienced players definitely look further into it than what like your more casual types of players would, you know, just see that Tom Hawkins has three big tons in a row, but not look into the fact that it was West Coast, North Melbourne and Hawthorn. And they have like a harder fixture coming up. Can you imagine Tom Hawkins with a hard fixture coming up? But yeah, no, I think it would be a lot more interesting. But this year we Dunkley, we won't have as a forward probably ever again, but we're going to have as a midfield anyway. But Taranto we won't have as a forward. Rosie we won't. Cogs we won't. Darcy Cameron we won't. I would say probably unlikely. I guess you'd probably know that better than I would. Gordon might be the only one that sort of hangs on because his role has been thrown around a lot this year, but we might get Walsh. Besides that, I'm hoping it's like a wide open, you know, there's just an absolute fest of random players that people have to sort of acclimatize to. And I think that's far more exciting than, I mean, this year is nuts. Like it's been so fun owning these guys because, you know, it is fun watching your Uber premiums average 115 plus in the forward line.
Yeah.
But it just makes it so, it simplifies the game so much more. It brings it down to a real base level. And it sort of puts everyone around the same mark because these guys are obvious.
Yeah, I think, I mean, right when Supercoach launched, its point of difference was it was the smart person's game because no one understood the scoring system essentially. You know, yeah. it was that the dream team at the time, now AFL Fantasy, you know, you could count the stats on your hand and it didn't matter if Brent Stanton was getting 120 points a game because even if he turned it over half the times, he'd still get 120 and was a great dream team pick. But then, you know, Supercoach launched and he was no longer like a must pick player. And that was exciting and cool because you had to think more about the player. So it was kind of advertised as, you know, the smart person's game. And with the increased trades, you know, that's obviously, I can understand for engagement levels why that had to be done. I feel like just copying the way AFL Fantasy went with that, with the DPP switch on, really brings it down a level. And I get that the scoring system is still the same and that's the point of difference, but you had two different products and now they're merging very close. And I don't know if it is the smart person's football game anymore. Like it's just a different type of football game. That's kind of how I feel.
I think we can rule this up to another thing that COVID is partially ruined in some way, shape, or form. Adding the extra trades and then giving Supercoach the idea of, oh, we can just throw trades at these guys when times get tough. And as much as it was appreciated in that COVID year, because I don't think any of us get through without it, and it sort of kept the game fresh that year, I don't know if it's necessary every year. But I don't want to be critical on the game because I completely understand and can see what they're trying to do and what they are doing successfully. Numbers are good at the moment from what I can see, and people are far more engaged later in the season than what they've ever been from a casual perspective. So don't get me wrong, I'm not blind to what they're doing and why they're doing it, but I think the upper echelon of players, which are never really the target for these changes, and I think companies know that, you know, those the top 10% stick around no matter what because they love the product, or they've sort of they're addicted to the product, whichever one it might be. But then the other percentage is what they're sort of trying to keep around, and I think they've done that this year better than any other season. So it's got its pros and its cons, but we actually have a podcast to do. And before
one
you
last
get,
thing, JB, I just want to just know your opinion while we're talking about it.
Yeah, sure.
Would it? I know we just have so many trades now, really. That should we just embrace it fully and just say, okay, it's two trades per week, position changes off, and you know then you can ride the fixtures when, you know, the key forwards get the hot fixtures or slow fixtures. You have the trades to get rid of them, so you're not stuck with like crappier players, and then it makes you feel good still being able to jump to and from, and you still have to study and figure out which guys to get in and which fixture runs to follow. But do you reckon that would be a happy medium, or how?
I don't think so. Okay. Like at the moment, there's more trades than there's ever been, and I know there's an extra round, but
yeah,
there's more trades than there's ever been, right? So I have two trades left because I aggressively traded. I traded English. I traded Tom Green. I traded. Who else did I trade? Jack Zeebel. Yeah. And there might have even been another one.
Sicily.
Well, he was out for a few weeks. But Clayton Oliver as well, who obviously has been out for a long time now. But
that's a lot. Oh, you traded Doherty out as well.
I traded Neil out in round two as well.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So there's so many players. There's so many players that I've traded out, and I never ever. I don't trade premiums. It's not my style, and This year I've acclimatized to what I saw last year, but like I don't love it, and I've got two trades left at the moment, and I'm playing for leagues this year more than anything. I know I've got a half decent rank around 2K and a good team, but I'm really playing for the next month, and then whatever happens from there happens. But essentially, I don't enjoy flipping these guys. I would rather have held, like the seller's remorse is stronger than the buyer's, like,
yeah,
do you know what I mean? I don't enjoy what I've done. I can't remember who I traded Tom Green to, but he's looked good the last few weeks. It just doesn't, none of it feels like, none of it feels okay. None of it feels good. I'd rather not have that power. Just take it away from me and let me be more concerned about trades.
Yeah. You could do that. On the, if you had the two per week, though, then you could just trade them back in and you wouldn't feel as bad.
Yeah, but there has to be some sort of consequence for your actions. Like Tom Green had like 90 Supercoach at halftime, and I was watching this game like so upset, and I know I can't get him back. If on principle than anything, but like I just can't get him back with trades. But like that is regret. That is something that I've made a decision to do and then watched it backfire and knowing that I can't retract it. And that is still why we play the game, is because we make all these decisions and it gives us a dopamine hit at the time to trade someone bad out and see them score badly the next week. But then on the reverse, it makes you feel the other way as well. And that's why we play the game, is for the emotions. Whether they're good or bad, it gives us, you know, an extra hit. Like people can't understand that I watch 9 games of football most weeks, and it's because I have this extra investment. I wouldn't have that if I could just flip guys in and out 24/7 and not really have any personal attachment to them. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it sounds like the way you've been playing this year, you haven't had a personal attachment to them.
Well, I do on the guys that I've got at the moment. And
no, I'm just teasing you.
And I enjoyed Tom Green's 130 in round one when I started him, but he scorned me. But it's, I don't know. It's a very tough balance. I don't think they've got it right this year. I don't think they've got it too wrong, but I don't think they've got it right. And I don't know what the right answer is either. So I'm not trying to pretend like I have all the answers. And like if I was in charge, I'd just do this and that. Like it's a very difficult balance to strike. So yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens next year, I guess. Whether they expand further into it or whether they sort of backpedal a little bit from what they've done this year.
Yep. No.
Can
I? Good discussion.
Can we podcast? Is this? Can we start?
Yeah. It's 15 just, minutes in just already. Just put my captaincy on Tom Green, knowing I'm playing you this week, and
right.
Ahead. Just to double the pain when enough. He plays Hawthorn.
What? Yeah, Hawthorn. I can't wait for Connor Nash to go to him after he had 38 this week. Okay, so we do have a couple of Patreon shout outs. So new signups. First, we've got James. Just James. There's no other additional.
Love
information
that.
There. Might be staying incog. And then we have Aaron Dal Aqua.
Welcome.
Dal Aqua.
Are you saying Dal Aqua?
Dal Aqua. Yeah, that's
like,
the one.
Like the tennis player?
Yeah, exactly like that.
Why did you say it in like...
Apostrophes are my enemy. I can't do apostrophes.
I'm not
well.
Reading it, so I'm just going off what you're saying. And
there's,
I don't have
there's a lot going on here.
Okay.
Aaron might have misspelt it even because it's confusing on my screen. But
welcome, Azza.
I think this is my first donation.
Well, you might have got it right if it's Dal Aqua.
No, I didn't get it right. I don't think it is Dal Aqua. I don't think it's that at all, actually.
See, find out next week.
All right, Aaron, please contact me if I've made a mistake there.
if.
Right. We've got something from the Cancer Council. Please take this away.
All righty. We do have two donations. We got Jason Lee says, donating for round 14 donuts. And then says, what's your top 3 donut fillings? I'm all in on the Hot Jam donuts from Vic Market, Melbourne, or a quality salted caramel filled donut, or a pandan filling, or a lemon curd. That was 4 wow. options. He said top 3. Then. So love your work.
No, I'll pay it.
The hot jam donuts from Vic Market is unreal. That's a great call. That's fantastic.
Really?
Yeah. That's A plus. So I'm with Jason on that one.
My number one, my go to is when Adelaide Fringe rolls around. there's always a hot cinnamon donut stand that comes over, and they are the best donuts. Like, I love a hot cinnamon donut, fresh, like straight out of the, you know, whatever makings they do.
Is it filled out of with cinnamon?
No. The cinnamon on the outside.
Okay, well, then you're not answering the question, JB.
What do you mean?
It says, what's your top three donut fillings?
Oh, man. I don't really have fillings. I'm sticking with cinnamon donut.
Okay, well, we failed with to no filling. The question. That's very upsetting. You didn't even what, say like
Nutella. How about this, Jason Lee, if that is your real name. Donuts typically have a hole through the middle and have no filling whatsoever. So you're talking about cakes. What's your favorite cake? And I have favorite cakes.
That's a hot take.
But my favorite donut is a hot cinnamon donut, okay?
Wow. All right, we'll move on, but that's a hot take that we'll have to address at some stage. Pig Mentality Donates says a special donation to the Cancer Council for Pistol's help with organizing the data for the Jack Vitale Cup, which we ran for the Supercoach players to test their buy planning. Thanks, Pistol. I couldn't have done it without you.
That seems like a plug. It seems like you've put that there.
I didn't do it, but thanks very much, Pig Mentality, for your donation. Definitely didn't need to. Just was helping out a mate, JB.
You didn't even name drop Pistol four times either. None of that was necessary. It.
That's for sure. No. He ran a little bike competition on Twitter.
I did notice it. I gave it a retweet. Pig Mentality, very good. Very good follow on Twitter.
Yeah, I unfortunately did very bad in the Vitale Cup, so we didn't want to talk about
it. I didn't see my name there, and I thought I had a good Vitale Cup, so I'm a little bit disappointed.
Everyone was really good. The top page in the buyers, so people like dominated the buyers in a way in which I did not. So congrats to all the winners of that cup as well. And thanks, Pig Mentality, for running it as well. It was good fun. Look forward to it next year.
Okay. Now there's a podcast to do. Now I've got three talking topics I want to get through.
Okay.
Now we're 20 minutes in already, and I expect it to be 6 minutes in by this point.
Yep.
I wanted to predict a 30-minute podcast, but I might have to stretch that to 40.
Okay.
But this should be a smaller podcast, a little bit more compact. Not a lot of people dealing with issues this week, so I just want to have more of a discussion, okay?
Sure.
So the first talking topic, and this is a very generic thing, but we're going to name some names. We're going to throw some names out there.
Yep.
So it's the age-old discussion. One trade this week for a budget premium. We're talking Callum Mills, LDU potentially if he's back. Players like that, I guess. I'm trying to think of other players in other lines that really fit that, but I don't have any off the top of my head. But those types of budget players, or do you use two trades to get the Ubers, the Libbers, the Lockie Neals that you might have missed out on, Sarong, who's a bit more, Brayshaw, those types of players, and trade up from the slums into something a little bit more secure? So now I guess the first question I have for you is, at what point in your trades remaining do you say, I'm making two trades here and getting the Uber?
So it's good. It's a great question. We did answer something similar last week, but every round is different as you approach the end of the towards the end of the season, and yep. There's more data as well. Your mindset sort of shifts because every round, obviously you're one closer towards the end of the season. So the risk kind of lessens every week you get through when you don't have an injury. I think now I'd feel great if I had three or more trades after I had done these two. That would be great. I think
it's essential.
I just think like Johnson's scoring pretty well and looks to have nailed his spot in the side. And if you have someone like Johnson or Wardlaw as cover on your bench, you might be able to go down to two trades. And I think I would feel okay. Not the best, but I would feel okay doing that to get an Uber into my side. That's probably where I draw the line, though. I don't love going down to one trade. If you're playing
Would you do that for Brayshaw over Mills?
See, the thing is, I'd have to love... this is where it is the same as last week. I'd have to really like the player you're getting for one trade.
Yeah.
Like, if you're getting Sarong for one trade or you're spending two to get Libba, I'd just get Sarong because I don't think there's that much of a difference between those two players. Whereas the difference between Mills and Libba is massive. So,
right.
I personally, and you might vary, I don't like any really cheap premium. I think last week the cheapest premium that I mentioned on the podcast that I really liked was Houston. And he's not that cheap anymore because he dominated. And then my next favorite was Sarong.
I love that man.
Yeah. So Sarong and Houston, the two choices I was speaking about last week, both very good weeks. I think there's some people, JB, that have spoken a little bit still about Keys because he's 500K, but he only had 3% CBAs.
How much is Keys at the moment?
He's 506.
I have someone cheaper that I like more.
Shoot.
Harry Himmelberg.
Yeah.
He's the one for me. So he had 84 this week, and I know he hasn't scored exceptionally since changing roles, but the 84 this week, if you go and look at his stats, was like a 120 gone begging.
Yes.
What he fell into this week was a lot more soccering off the ground, which is like pretty much an auto clanger. If it's wet, you soccer off the ground. It has to go to your teammate. Otherwise, you're just losing 4 or 5 points at a time for it. He did that a few times due to the weather conditions and the fact that the ball just fell that way. So that and a couple of uncharacteristic free kicks.
Mm-hmm.
But he left a really big score. So I think most importantly, he passes the eye test really well. They've got Hawthorn, Adelaide, Gold Coast in their next three.
Yeah, it's a good run.
Yeah, I can see him repaying the faith immediately. I think he, for 400K, I'm saving a trade on most of the players forward or back.
So I guess the downside I have with Himmelberg is that he was the main kick and taker this week. He had 7 of 8, which is unbelievable. And Lockie Ash had 6 of 7 played on from them. So from the 15, it was just split between those two players. But Whitfield was suspended and he's been the main kick and taker the entire season. So Whitfield will come back. And since Whitfield and Himmelberg have been playing together, the order has been Whitfield, then Ash, then Himmelberg. So 6 fewer kicks compared to standard kick-ins for Himmelberg, you know, that goes from that leaving 120 onto a table to like leaving 100 on the table, which doesn't sound as impressive.
I think that's weather dependent as well. Like Harry Himmelberg is their long kick out taker.
Yeah.
Whereas Ash and Whitfield are more their precise kick in takers. So I guess that like that might not necessarily change because of Whitfield coming back. It might just be weather dependent. Obviously, we're not predicting 4 or 5 weeks into the future as to whether he gets kickouts depending on the weather.
Is it raining in 5 weeks?
But I just think he's one of the ones that I can trust to at least have a 90-plus floor a lot of weeks. That, it might not be every single week. He might score in the 80s, but I think he evens out to a 90-plus average for the rest of the season from here.
He probably... I'm probably not as high on him. I don't think he goes more than 95. I think that would be...
I said 90 plus.
I think he'll go around 90 though. Like not that much more than 90.
Like if it's like 92, then I'm not surprised. Yeah. If it's 96, then I'm like, whoa, he had a really good end to the year. I didn't expect that.
That's not that good though. Like it's fine.
It's 400K it's not, though. And if it saves you a trade, if you're going from 3 down to 2, I'm not going down to 1 just to avoid Himmelberg.
But if you're getting, if it's like Sarong or Himmelberg, Sarong with a season average of 112. You know, that's 20-plus points per game and there's, you know, 7 games left.
If you're picking between those two, then, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's an extra over 100
no,
points.
No, I agree with that. I would go strong.
But I get it when you're comparing to Mills, right? Because Mills is no guarantee to go much more than Himmelberg either and is more injury-prone.
100%. And I think they've both got similar role concerns, but I'd trust Himmelberg's role more than I trust Mills.
I think... Chad Warner is probably out for a bit longer than anticipated. So his role might be okay for a couple of weeks, but I have really big concerns over Mills' body still. Like he can't just magically have, you know, recovered and then also have zero injury risk. Like we've seen Yo get injured again. We've seen Fife get injured again. Mills is in that category, as is LDU this year. You know, they're the players that are most likely to get re-injured now because they keep having reoccurring injuries. So I don't love him or LDU, even though I think LDU's for me, probably has the best upside. Let's discuss that.
Let's discuss that, because if you are in the camp of someone who we're talking to saying you don't have enough trades for this, I wouldn't go from three down to one to avoid these guys. Are you getting Walsh, LDU, Mills as your guy?
I'm getting Walsh out of all of those because of the...
I don't think
he's the highest scoring potential. I think that's LDU. But I think the combination of injury, even though Walsh has missed more games, I don't see his type as a recurring injury.
Has he missed more games or the same?
Or he missed similar. The first like six games of the season.
LDU, I haven't seen LDU in like 2 months.
Yeah.
When did LDU last play?
I mean, he got re-injured, but yeah, he played in round nine. So he's just missed quite a few games, but his scoring potential, I think, is the best out of all those players, but he is also supremely injury prone this season.
I have a big factor as well.
Yeah.
Walsh is likely to get forward status. And I know we've said this before, but the fact that we have probably bare minimum five forwards that are midfield eligible, and getting Walsh now that will probably be forward eligible in a week, having that switch factor, say you've got Johnson and you had someone like Fife, or you've got Marek and Bueller as your two forward bench guys for some reason, like whatever your situation is, say your forward cover is not good enough, you've got Johnson / Wardlaw in the midfield, getting Walsh and then him becoming a forward means you've got cover for five of your forwards now as well.
Yeah.
And whether that sixth forward is another one, or if it's like a Darcy Cameron or something like that, I'm not sure, but essentially you can cover most of your forward line with this move as well, and I think that's hugely underrated. And his scoring's been fine. It's not been good, but it's been fine. He plays West Coast in a couple of weeks. He'll get his average a little bump there.
You know, it wasn't fun paying over 600K for him.
Yeah, I wouldn't enjoy that. I got him last week, and he was teeing up a 120, and then I felt the pain that everyone has been feeling for weeks with him, and he fell short on none. By the way, though, he lost two scaling in the last 30 seconds of the game to go from 101 to 99.
Yeah.
And they won by a lot. And I'm like, how is he the one that loses two scaling?
I mean, so after the quarter time, he wasn't like that good. The quarter time, he was on 35 but gave away a 50 in the last like 30 seconds. So he was on like that. He was on like over
27.
40.
He was on 20. Oh.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, he was doing really well. And then
I saw him peak on 37 in the first quarter. And he was on like 27 5 minutes into the second quarter. And I was like, how has this happened? But yeah, I wasn't watching.
I gave away 50. But he that point onwards...
Well, he should have got 110 plus based on that, because he's not going to be 50 every game.
No, he was chipping in every now and then, but it wasn't like a dominant Walsh display, and it was unfortunate because he just started so hot. And Carlton don't look that good, so it's hard to get around him. Especially
it is tough,
when
but their run is good.
Their run's good. Chera looks amazing, really. Like, underrated. When you're talking about PODs earlier, that's where my mind went, because no one has him, really, and he's got a 5-round average now of 122, and his scores are not like little. Like, his last four games are 129, 132, 127, 130. So
he's not even getting like, he's not even in the top three CBAs, is he?
It's a good question. I'll can check.
Like
it
he's
up.
He's going forward and kicking goals and getting big scores on the basis of that, and it's so strange that he's consistently doing it now.
Well, it's not like he's kicking, you know, four goals a game. He's just chipping away at it. He's only getting 70% CBAs lately, which is just behind Cripps, but it's so heavily, they have so many players running through that midfield. It's a role that I think that will continue because he's playing incredibly well, but it's just not usually a role where you can go 120, but he is doing it. So what do I know?
Okay. Now, next topic. Are you ready for next topic?
Yeah. I feel like, did we cover that one? I don't know. We spoke a lot. I didn't think we had a resolution, but we...
Yeah. It's based on your trades. I know we
changed subject really quickly on Keys after his role change this week. He still scored really well. But he only had 3% CBAs. And
I wouldn't buy him.
I don't think if he's out of the midfield, he had a really good game.
He'll be in and out for the rest of the year. And when he's forward, he needs Adelaide to win.
Yeah, that's right.
Convincingly to get a good score. And they'll probably have a couple of those left, maybe at Adelaide Oval. But
they played North. What do you expect?
He's going to get 50s and 60s sprinkled in those scores. I can't believe he's actually had such a consistent 5 weeks.
He actually was such a good buy if you got him during the buys.
It just won't keep up. I'm sorry for owners or people that want to buy him this week, but I just don't think it keeps up.
Yeah, trade him to Chera.
Yeah, that'd be unreal. okay, the next topic I have here is, do we wait one more week for an Uber premium or do we settle this week? So, for example, we've got someone there that's going to make cash or waiting on someone to fall. The numbers match up next week, but this week they don't. And do we settle and get the points this week or do we cop the 60, 70 this week and, you know, from next week onwards? Now, it really is a simple maths equation, right? Like, who do you have as cover? What do you expect them to score realistically? If you have Johnson, say realistically he's going to score 65, who would you get this week and who would you get next week? And are they going to run back that difference?
Yeah, it's as simple as that. And I think you'd find at this stage of the season, most of the time they will make up the difference.
At this stage, yeah. But like, give it a couple of weeks and we'll suddenly say no.
Yeah.
But at this point, there's enough time that someone's going to make up a 35-point gap or something, whatever would be put on this week.
Yeah. I just think Oliver is so good and Sicily is also really good. But, I mean, Sicily might not be – depends who you're tossing up between, obviously. But in the midfield specifically, because I know a lot of people are shopping as their last midfielder spots and they're like, oh, you know, I can – get Walsh this week, or if I wait another week and use another trade, I might be able to get Oliver or whatever it is. I think Oliver's making up points on everybody, including Sarong, including Brayshaw. Is there someone he won't run? I don't think he runs down Libba, does he? Maybe?
Probably. No, he won't run down Libba.
I don't know. No. It's close. It's not like
he will
a
not
guarantee.
Run down Libba. No, it's a guarantee. I guarantee he doesn't run down Libba.
All right. Well, there we go. We heard it here first. But I think it's if you're going to ask the question, which JB doesn't, but I'm asking the question, then it's at least worth investigating. But anyone outside of that, I'd feel pretty confident just like waiting a week to get him. But then on the other side, you say, well, he's been 1 week away for like 5 weeks. Can you trust the coach when the coach is like, if it's not this week, it's definitely next week?
He even said this week, I know I've been saying this every week, but it's definitely going to be next week. It's like, yeah. So like, why is this week any different? You've said it for 6 weeks in a row.
I believe.
It gets to a point. I don't. It gets to a point where you start to think like, this hammy, has he just redone it at some point and they're not coming out with it? Because it can't be the first hammy. He was fit for that. On the King's birthday game, he was fit from the hammy, ready to go and had a blister.
Yeah, so...
So, like, how is it the hammy again? How's it been another 3 weeks on the hammy? So, no, that's correct. We won't know, but to say with any confidence he's going to play in the next fortnight or he's going to play out the rest of the year, like, I don't have that confidence. I would bet on several players to outscore him, probably because I think he has a chance of missing an extra game.
Yeah, Very possible. I guess that's when you do the maths again. If it's 2 weeks of my emergency, you know, can Oliver run down that difference?
But there are still a lot of players that are worth this. Even if it's like an extra trade is why you can't afford it this week or whatever the reason, or you're waiting for Sicily. It's Sicily versus, like, I don't know who you're trading in, Himmelberg. Like, yeah, he's going to chase him down. If it's Sicily versus, like, who's like middling, Luke Ryan, then yeah, Sicily's going to chase him down. Like, there's guys there that you just expect Sicily to chase down, and it's almost everyone in that back line that's like half owned, half not.
I'll tell you someone that I think might be worth it though for that middling 530k range, because when you're at the 530k range, you're kind of looking at Walsh. It might be worth not getting Walsh and waiting 1 week for Tuk Miller if he's named this week and falls down into that price bracket. I think he's just a lot better than Walsh.
Yep. No, I do agree with that.
But he has to be named.
But don't get him this week, please. If he's named this week, even if you've got the money, do not buy players coming back from a hamstring like week one. It's was he even in a hamstring?
Oh my gosh, it was so long ago. I think it was a knee. I had him at the time. I think it was a medial.
Was it MCL?
Yeah,
no,
I think it was.
Because it was like an unknown amount of time that he was away.
I think it was an MCL. I can't remember. It was back in like round six or so when I got him. I'm quite sure it was an MCL.
I'm Googling this. It's definitely knee injury.
We went from hammy to knee injury. Definitely knee injury.
Knee injury. No, it's because I've read that now. Knee injury is not as bad as first feared. Okay. I can't remember what they exactly said it was, because scans revealed ACL is still intact. Instead, he suffered a lateral meniscus tear, which can still keep him out of action for a number of months. And then I think the severity of that depends on whether it's like 8 weeks or more, and it must have just been like between that and the worst severity or something like that. I don't know. But essentially, yeah. So do not get him back this week.
But keep him on your radar for future weeks.
Yep. Next week, he's probably he overtakes Walsh, LDU, and Mills as our best pick.
Yeah, I think so. And it's important when you've got potentially some players topping out that you might not want long term. This might be one of your talking points, JB, but Will Day tops out because that 141.
It's not one of my talking points.
He'll go up in price next week because break even, well, he should, hopefully, with a low break even. You never really know. And he'll be over 500K, and it might only cost you 50K to get to Tuk Miller, which if he's in your midfield doesn't sound too bad.
No. I mean, genuinely, that sounds unbelievable. And you know, Tuk Miller could put 20 plus a game on someone like Will Day. Maybe 30, more.
30?
Maybe
35?
40. I would go as high as 40 is a chance. But genuinely worth waiting for if you're still stuck in limbo between a few players. Like 1 week, how bad is your cover? How bad would your cover have to be, do you think, to say, you know what, I actually need to just do it this week? Like, is your cover scoring 40? And you're saying, like, nah, I can't wait. I've got to do it this week.
Yeah, it would have to be scoring something around that. It would probably be just Marek on the bench, right? Like, that's your only cover.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And playing Brisbane at the Gabba seems like a 16 score.
It does.
Plays on Harris Andrews just like Jack Buller did.
Oh gosh!
Just gets absolutely.
Marek, I'm a five owner, so Marek is now my only cover. So I'd rather we not slander Marek too much, please.
He's your only cover. Do you shoot Matt Johnson?
No, only cover in the forward line.
Oh yeah, that's same. But it's expected.
But he did just, you know, St Kilda were in the top eight, and he put up 76. So you never know.
Stranger things have happened.
So yeah, this whole wait 1 week for Uber, I think that we've pretty much summarize that. Like, you really do have to assess your options, make a realistic attempt at what your cover is going to score, and then split the difference between that score, the guy that you're getting in this week or would be getting in this week, what the difference is between those two, and whether the guy that you're getting next week would be able to chase that down in the remaining, 6 weeks left after this? After this week coming? Yeah, so I think in most cases you'll find 6 weeks. The guy that you're waiting for is probably going to be 5 to 10 better. And in that case, you know, he could be doubling your score still. And your rookie, like someone like Matt Johnson, could genuinely surprise you with, you know, a 70 plus, and no one would be surprised, I don't think. So I think that's very
interesting. That was a confusing sentence.
I know. As soon as I said it, I thought it. All right, I've got one more point for you before I throw to you to potentially throw one back at me.
Okay.
So the last thing I want to consider is if you've got a luxury trade, so you've decided you're at 4 or 5 trades left, you can afford to use a luxury trade at this time of the year, which I think you and I can both agree, yeah, 4 or 5 trades left to pop a luxury trade is fine usually. On-field points versus bench points. Now, in theory, you're like, oh, I want the points on field, right? If you don't have any cover, is it worth using a trade to get someone to flip between the two areas? Like even like, say I've got Nat Fyfe, he was supposed to be my cover for the rest of the year. Instead now I'm getting Callum Mills and Walsh is going to be the cover for the rest of the year or Callum Mills and Walsh are going to, you know, loophole and one of those two guys is going to cover somewhere.
Yeah.
Is it worth doing that or is it worth just going, you know what, instead of using this money from Fyfe, I'm actually just going to trade my worst premium, Will Day, Sam Walsh, Harry Sheezel, Darcy Cameron, whoever it might be, Cornelio. I'm actually just going to trade one of those guys to Zach Butters or Liberatore or even, you know, as high as Sicily, depending on how much money you have. You need 100K from Fyfe to Mills. So what do you think in regards to that? Are you banking those points or are you trying to get someone sort of flicking between the lines?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think specifically for Fyfe, because he's injured, that probably pushes me, given it's the only cover in this situation, then to get someone like Mills, because playing cover is really important for all these 1 week tackles, suspension. So I need some cover, but I think my answer changes if you have the Matt Johnson or Wardlaw type in your midfield, especially if you have someone in your midfield that is got DPP and therefore you can cover, you know, a forward or a defender with Wardlaw or Johnson. You know, if most of your team can be covered via DPP, like majority, then I think I try and get points on field. I know that's it's, you know, I wouldn't go down to 0 trades for it. Even 1 trade is a bit risky, but I feel upgrading, you know, your M8 from Will Day to like an Oliver is a bigger upgrade than loopholing Day and Mills, because one, like realistically, how many points are you going to make from that throughout the season? Maybe a couple, you'd loophole a couple of times and you're only getting a big payout if one of your midfielders miss and then Mills comes in and does score well. Like Mills could come in and score 90 and you could have been having Oliver every single week and then Johnson scores 60, you know, as the 1 week one of your midfielders misses. So you're realistically making a lot more points getting in the better players on your field. And if nothing goes wrong and you have perfect luck as well, then you're just laughing all the way to the bank. You've maximized it. But I think the important thing is you need to have cover, like at least one, and that's probably not enough. I would really strongly recommend being able to have two. And if you have one forward cover and one midfield cover, using DPP, it's possible that you'd be able to cover every line on your field. I think most people are probably in that situation where you can cover every line just with two playing bench people.
Yeah.
What do you think?
So, all right, this is a touchy point for me. There's only two things that I really hate in this world.
Yeah.
People that don't just spend their stuff on field and get the points on field, a la people planning for injuries that might not happen, and people who put tomato sauce on pasta really irks me. It's like you don't need to do that. Just cook better pasta.
Yeah, that's
like, tomato sauce doesn't even add to it at all.
That's like, fair.
It detracts from the taste. It's ridiculous.
I don't know anyone that
like
would
a child,
that.
Like a child or something.
Seems very specific.
Really upsets me. Okay. Anyway, on to the first point. People
going on to the second point. I don't think we need to get there, but yeah, sure. On to the first point.
No, we'll talk about the second point when we discuss the donuts.
Okay, sure.
We'll shelve both those conversations for later.
Yeah.
So, on to the first point. I really like your cover would have to be completely non-existent. Like, say Fife was your only cover.
Yeah.
Even still, like, how many trades do you have left to be doing this and thinking, I got to use it on cover
four.
Rather than... So you've got exactly four trades left.
I should say, I'm saying four for a reason. Because if it was two, well, you're probably not doing that. And if it's,
correct.
It's three, you might be doing it. But at that stage, like if you have an injury, just use the trade on the injured player. So
well, that's kind of my point anyway. It is like you're probably using your trades on the injured players anyway. Like I don't think I know it's impossible to predict, but there's 7 weeks left.
Yeah.
Including this week coming. If you've got four trades left or five trades left and you're using one now to upgrade your team, do you expect 3 to 5 injuries for the rest of the year? I know it's possible, but all you'd have to do is have some form of basic cover for the points to not be chased down for what you're getting on field. And I'm talking like a, like you said, a Will Day up to an Uber or if, I don't know what the defensive player for this is. Is it Sheasel?
Yeah, it's Sheasel.
And is it Cogs in the forward line or something? Like,
well, you just swing them back and then you get the cover onto your...
Whatever it is.
Yeah, deep.
And however high you're going, if you're getting like a Butters from a Cogs, even I can even understand that. Like, there is going to be so many points gained from doing that trade on field rather than, like, I think it's so timid to just be like, oh, you know what, I'll just improve my cover just in case. Like, in case something happens that I don't have the trade or the cover for in future, instead of getting these guaranteed points right now, I'll just, like, scapegoat myself, like, for future things that could or couldn't happen. I don't quite know. I just think it's, like, I don't know. It's a really odd way to play the game to, like, expect these bad things to happen. I know, like, statistically they happen, but that's why you still have trades left. You're not trading yourself down to zero. If I'm trading myself from 1 to 0, then I'm getting cover. But I'm probably just not trading at all. I'm saving it for when the cover is needed and I'm just trading that guy. But essentially, I just don't think you make back those points. And loopholing is the biggest fallacy in this game because you pick the safe score every time and then the guy, like, it's unpredictably just outscores you. Will Day scoring 140 in, was it round 15 he did that? He scored the 140?
Yeah, last week.
Against Gold Coast in a 70-point thrashing, he scores 140. He plays the last game of the round, right? So you've got Sydney against West Coast. Say it's Mills that you're looping. What did Mills score last week? Like 90-something.
Yeah.
You're just taking that Mills score. Or sorry, he scored 75 last week. So a better
still
example.
Still taking the Mills score.
But genuinely, like you look at that and you go, all right, well, Will Day's playing away. They might get flogged. I'm just taking the safe score rather than losing 10 points. And then you lose 70 points. Like it's just such a trap. And I hate it in FBL as well when you buy the 2 4.5 keepers and you bench the clean sheet every week. It really just hurts my head. I don't think it's as beneficial as what people think. Like people think about it and they go, I bench the 60 and get the 140 every week. And it doesn't work like that. And a lot of the time they play at the same time or some crappy fixturing that the AFL has done and the fixture doesn't work or you don't have a loophole after that point for some reason somehow this late in the season. Anyway, I don't like loopholing and I don't like making these plans for things that might not ever happen. I like getting and securing points on field right now because that is a sure thing.
All right.
So I'm locking that in. I'm okay. Doing whatever that is.
I like the conviction in your
then
tone.
You never have to look at Will Day again in your Supercoach team. Like, what a win.
So if you are ignoring your advice and you were to trade Fife to somebody that's, let's say, sub 350, 60K, you know, in that price range, and you're desperate because you need some semblance of cover and you're worried that this might be the last week to grab it, is there anyone or who is your favorite? Because, of course, there's just random players, but who's your favorite in that cheap sort of category that you think is the best options for the rest of the year.
So what am I looking at? 350 and less, like any position?
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is a horrible thing to come up with without any notice whatsoever.
You just go to the players page, go to the sort by price, go to the three-round average, and then read off it. I'm saying, you're allowed to have other opinions than that, but it's not bad options at the top.
I don't like many of these options, man.
Yeah.
A lot of these options are real bad. Like Hugh Greenwood scored 17 this week.
But we'll probably don't suggest Hugh Greenwood.
Is Matthew Johnson the answer? Is that the answer that we're all seeking?
No, it's Sheldrick. What are you talking about?
Is Sheldrick the answer? He's got 102, 95, three-round average. It genuinely is Sheldrick, though, because he's midfield as well.
Yeah, he's so good. He's such a good player. Why is he so good?
Does he get affected by... I think Mills gets more affected by Warner's return than what Sheldrick does.
So do I. Why is Sheldrick so good?
He's really good.
He's like incredibly good. It's really exciting. Yeah, like he's really good. If he plays like this for the rest of the season, you could potentially start.
What about Sam Flanders?
Yeah, so Sam Flanders is funny just because of like how well he's playing now after how poorly he started the season and like burns everybody, which tends to happen quite a lot. But I would be worried that Tuk Miller's return impacts Flanders. And we said at the beginning of the season, but everyone at the time, you know, different role, blah, 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 blah. But it's now he got 40% CBAs last week and 2 weeks ago, this weekend, he got like 20% CBAs. I would expect that to go down to almost zero when Tuk Miller's back. So that would be probably, you know, 30, 40 points potentially less for him. So I don't like it as much as I like Sheldrick, who is getting low time on ground but has a decent role when he plays and is scoring amazingly well and eye test wise looks phenomenal.
Yeah, it looks really good.
What do you think of Liam Henry? It's a 3-round average of 95 now.
No.
High possession games as well, an 80-100, 302.
No.
No? It's just no?
Well, like, he hasn't had a role change. He's playing on a wing, and although he's in form, like a purple patch isn't the same as something that we expect to see going forward. And you don't get those last three scores. So going forward, he's not going anywhere near my team. Like I love the role change. I love how well he's playing, but not for Supercoach. Neil Erasmus had -5 this week.
Yeah, that was exciting. I enjoy when people add to the pie. So everyone does better. I always appreciate their help.
What about the Carlton boys? Lockie Fogarty had 99, David Cunningham 97. They're about 160K respectively.
Yeah, so
Cunningham has like a bit of pedigree as well.
Yeah.
Didn't score well in his return game, but now obviously, is that just win dependent? Because Carlton aren't going to win a lot of games. But
so I don't think Fogarty is long for the best 22.
I agree with that.
I think Cunningham's very talented and he's always had pretty good hype and looks like a decent footballer, but he's so injury prone as well.
Yeah, he's really, really injury prone.
And they beat up on Hawthorn, which, you know, they've still got West Coast to play, but I think they've got some tough games. Fremantle, Port, two hard games, West Coast, Collingwood, Saints, Melbourne. It's not ideal for a small forward in a Carlton side. Like, he might be the best downgrade option this week because there's just not many options, but injury prone.
No, I don't like him. You talked to me off of him.
It's just an injury prone. I think he can be best 22, so you could take a punt, but he's really injury prone.
Looking through these names, it is genuinely Sheldrick and then like a big gap, and then you could convince me that Flanders is going to go 75 for the rest of the year.
What about
Andrew Gaffey's down here. I just want to say if anyone trades Andrew Gaffey into their team, I don't want to talk to you.
That's a bonus for some people. You should take him up on that.
Everyone ranked above me should not want to talk to me. That would be perfect.
I think...
Kitty Coleman, yeah. He's a good player.
He's injury prone as well. Like, you don't want...
he's very injury
prone. He's got West Coast, though.
So. What's been his problem this year? Why is he not scoring any Supercoach points?
Just looks like he got space jammed, lost all his powers. And they've been sharing it around. Connor McKenna's really hurt him as, you know, another outlet option. And I don't know exactly why all the pieces aren't working because, like, they're all there. but it's just not working for him this year. So it's probably a pass, unfortunately. I think the answer is Sheldrick, like, quite comfortably. He's probably the best player outside of Jeremy Cameron at like 390k, who might be back in this price range, which is what I was going to say, JB, that you could also sit on your hands and wait for Jeremy Cameron to fall to like 330k and then do a swap. I think that's another possibility. You don't need to trade five this week if you don't have any laid outs or donuts.
True.
You can just hold him and maybe he'll come back.
Get someone of the caliber of Jeremy Cameron who people were buying for 550k, then like it's a no-brainer, right?
I think so. I think like, yeah, why not?
I just saw Dylan Williams, forward defender, scored 110 this week. Break even 31, he's made 250k.
How much is he now?
We wouldn't usually own him still, 370k.
Yeah, he made a lot of money.
We probably wouldn't still own him. Like, we probably would have jumped off at, like, he scored back-to-back 60s before this week. But he's only, like, from round six, his scoring has been 85, 85, 81, 84, 36, 84, 68, 69, 110.
It's very frustrating.
Why did you do it? He hasn't lost a game in his AFL career, by the way. Fun fact.
That is quite a fun fact. I think you can probably keep your eye out for like a Carlton midfielder injury, and if George Hewitt's able to get a starting berth back, you know, he'll be like sub 300k next week. He looks good when he comes on, but the midfield's way too stacked for him to get consistent games, so something would need to happen.
What about if you can get up to like Taron Thomas?
I don't know.
89, 112, 75, 94.
I mean, he's a good player. I just... I'd rather just...
94 and a thrashing this week is pretty good, yeah. Playing forward. He had a few goals.
Yeah, he's all right. He's not too bad. I mean, if you're up all the way up there, just like get Himmelberg.
Yeah, it's only an extra 20k. But what if you can't?
Can you
if you only have exactly enough for Taron Thomas?
Just wait 1 week and get Cameron.
What if you can't? What if you've got it laid out and you've got exactly enough for Taron Thomas and you have to make a move this week?
And you can't cop a donut?
That. If you cop a donut, there's someone in your house with a gun to your head and they're like, if you cop this donut, so help me God.
I'd probably take Taron Thomas then, yeah.
All right, got him. I made a bet with Cheeser that I'd get you to recommend Taron Thomas in some capacity in this podcast.
Well, you're right. Gun to my head. Was it my head or family member's head? Or
I think it was everything. There was like seven gunmen in the house.
Oh, God. Yeah.
They were all pointing something at someone. Some were pointing guns at each other as well. It was like partially beneficial, but like mostly detrimental.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, I see.
Really strange situation. I don't know how crazy. We got here.
Yeah. Especially my apartment's really secure. It'd be really hard for them to get in. Like after the first or second, I'd lock the door.
I think one of them's a family friend who's betrayed you. So like they've obviously... Well,
joke's on you. I have no friends.
No, it's a family friend. They're a friend of your family.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Loophole. All right. This has actually somehow gone for an hour. I'm sick of talking. I do apologize if I've coughed or spluttered. I'm still getting back from my... little bout of illness, but I think that's going to do us, Pistol. Did you have anything left on your mind?
Yeah, no, I want to get into your point.
Non-gunman related.
So let's say five gunmen are in your home, JB, and they put tomato sauce on your pasta. And they say you have to eat it.
I don't eat it. No, I don't. I don't eat it.
Okay, well, now the gunman's at all your family, you know.
What if they're facing the guns at the donut stop at the fringe, then I eat the pasta to save the donuts for sure.
Okay.
In that situation, I eat the pasta.
Oh, that's all right. I had a bet with Chizo that I'd say that you would eat tomato sauce and pasta on the podcast. So I think we're all winners today.
God, that hurts. Okay. Well, that's gonna do it for the podcast, I hope. Thanks everyone if you're still listening
so quickly,
to this
yeah.
point. I think I'm delusional. It's not even late either. Anyway, thanks everyone for listening. If you've listened to this point, put something into the Slack if you're still listening at this point. Give us a heads up. We appreciate everyone still listening at this point in the season as well. We'll catch you all next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.